Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the Treasure Island Sportsbook, it's In the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, presented by Tequila Embajador.
I want to thank you very much for making my day in the sun so memorable.
Right back out to the Raider Nation listener line. We've got an anonymous call online. I'm not quite sure what this is all about, but I'll just call him Anonymous. You got the floor.
Yeah, I'm the hotel manager of a certain hotel in Ohio where I believe one of your radio stars was supposed to stay at and had an issue with. And I'm going to be in L.A. this weekend. I want to know if you wanted to meet up and see those things to my face about my hotel.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. That would be great.
Oh yeah,
well, where you gonna be, and man? That's between y'all. But
what's that?
I said, "Where are you gonna be, man?"
I'm just at the game.
This is Aaron, man, from Maui.
What's
this
up,
is Aaron
dude?
From Maui, man. I'm just messing with you.
I'm already knowing. That's why you heard me. But hey,
you
believe me, brother.
I couldn't even fake it.
No. But I didn't know exactly it was you. But I knew it was. I knew it wasn't them. Just because I talked to them long enough, where I knew.
Okay. Well, just so you know, I was at work minding my own business and. Damone reached out to me to ask if I would do this. Man, I was working my
Wow, Damone!
I'm just kidding, man. I'm just kidding. He didn't do that, man. I wouldn't do that to him. I wouldn't narc on you anyway, Damone.
Damone is like, anyway, he's shell shocked right now.
The shock. Right now. he's stuttering and.
Well, anyway, you guys have a good weekend. My point was to call to make sure that. Q was staying somewhere close to you and not at some flea bag, man. Hook your boy up going forward, if you will, Vinny.
Exactly. Yeah, we got to I gave him the plan. He knows what needs to happen in that regard. Because I'm telling you, man, traveling, you there's some do's and don'ts, and but sometimes you get caught. You know, you get lied to a little bit sometimes or misled. So
I got catfished on the internet. That's what
there you
was.
Go. Exactly. So we got it out early. It was a mistake now that he's going to be able to rebound from and learn from and get better from. You know, just got to clean up the fundamentals a little bit, and he'll be good to go. Yeah.
All right. Well, you guys have fun, man. If you guys pass my old neighborhood, Slauson and Crenshaw, throw it up for me one time.
Yeah. Awesome, man.
I'm definitely not going by Crenshaw. I'm not going by Crenshaw, brother. Call me what you want.
Oh.
I'm not. Hey, man, look, I'm a family man now. You know what I mean? I don't want to have my head on a swivel.
That's smart. Yeah, that's smart.
All right. Okay. Well
Take
played.
Care, guys.
Well
have
played.
A good weekend.
Hey, I appreciate the call.
Appreciate you, my man.
Thanks for the support.
That's Aaron right there. Good dude. And I'll tell you this, man. I know that I'm going to be staying at a good hotel because I did not make the hotel plans this time. The wife did. So
there you go.
So she's got it covered like a glove. And so, yeah, I appreciate Aaron. He was the great sponsor of my trip to Canton, Ohio. And believe me, I actually have a funny story, and I'm not going to tell it right now, but I have a hilarious story that it will all come to light at some point about where I was supposed to stay in Canton and things that I'm going to be doing in the future. It's really going to all come together. It's going to be pretty funny, but we'll get to that in another time.
We're looking forward to it. In the meantime, we're going to go out to the Raider Nation listener line because Eddie is in L.A. How you doing, Eddie?
Hey, how you doing, Vinny? Q, what, you're leaving me on a lurch right there, man. Now I'm intrigued. Now I want to hear it. I want to laugh.
Hey,
what's
man.
Going on, buddy?
I got a funny story coming, but it's one of those situations where I don't even have to speak on it. When it comes to light, everyone's going to know it and say, oh, my gosh, I can't believe this is happening. And it'll be funny, but it's coming. Trust me, it's coming.
Right on. I can't wait. I'm sure I'll listen for it. You know, I've been hearing the talk about Derek Carr and ball security. I'm pretty sure he's gonna have that fixed. I mean, if you go back to the 2015, the 2016, 2016 season, he had a problem with throwing interceptions. He cleaned it up that year in 2016, and he blew it up. And I think he's primed to do the same thing this year. I think he's going to come out. He's going to have a chip on his shoulder. That's a point of reference that I'm sure that he's been working on. But what part of the line and all the shifting that had to do last year had any part to play with him? Maybe he was insecure of that line at times, and it showed, and it led into those things manifesting itself. I think this year it's going to be a lot better. You'll see a different Derek Carr. You know, the line is still subject because, you know, there is a new starters, and there's going to be weaknesses there, and I'm sure teams are going to attack those vulnerabilities. But one of the things that concerns me a little bit is the injuries at the middle linebacker position. Has there been any talk about bringing anybody in? Isn't Reuben Foster out there?
Oh,
Reuben Foster is out there. He showed a nice little video. I think it was yesterday. Looked pretty good. Well, look, they've got Nick Kwiatkowski, so he was last year's starter. And so for now, if Nicholas Morrow is going to be out any significant amount of time, then, you know, obviously Kwiatkowski moves up ahead a notch. I got to say this, too, watching in practice, I know Q's been out there, too. It ain't like Kwiatkowski's just some bum sitting on the sidelines. He plays a lot. There's a lot of schemes and packages and personnel groupings where he is front and center. He's going to play a lot this year. So,
and it's the same issue we're having where, you know, it's availability key with both of them now. Well, I mean, Morrow just got injured, but Kwiatkowski looks like it's something that is a trend with him. I mean, it plagued him in Chicago, and it seems like it could be following him here too. I hope not, knock on wood, but we have to have some depth. Last year and then the years previous to that, that middle of the field in the defense was like, it was just open for anybody to go in there and do whatever they want. And in the preseason, last game against Seattle, you saw a little bit of it, and that's what I mean about them cleaning that portion up, and they kind of went back, and you had players being in that position and covering the middle of the field a little better. But that's still a little concerning, especially with all the new additions on defense and them needing to play together as a cohesive unit. That's the part that gets me a little bit nervous about that. I mean, I still think they're going to be more buttoned up. They're going to be more after it. Just look at the previous practice, how keen they were, how focused, ready to work. They treated it as a business trip. I mean, that's one of the things I've been harping on the most in the previous years. There was that level of seriousness, focus all the way around from top to bottom. Wasn't always there. It was lacking either on one side of the team or the other. I don't see that as an issue anymore. I see them all being as a collective group, which is only going to spell success in my mind. But that middle of the field is still something that bothers me. I don't know about you guys, but it really does bother me. It makes me worry at times. Hopefully, you know, with all the cornerbacks that they have, they got up something up their sleeve, and they'll plan for it. But I can't wait, man. I can't wait for that Monday night. I can't wait for them to smack around the Rams this weekend, too.
Well, we'll see what happens tomorrow. One thing also that I've been noticing, Q, is that, you know, in the middle of that field, there's a guy by the name of, there's a guy with the number 24 that has been patrolling the middle of that field closer to the line of scrimmage. So I think the way this defense, you know, is constructed and the way it runs, you know, and I'm not saying that Jonathan Abram is a de facto another middle linebacker, but he kind of plays a position where that's where he's situated. That's where he plays a lot now, over closer to the line of scrimmage. I saw him make some plays against the Rams where, you know, it was middle of the field balls that were thrown where he was right there to either pass, you know, make the pass breakup or make the tackle very quickly. So that kind of, you know, his role is almost more like a linebacker this year, Q.
Yeah, no, it really is, and that's where he's more comfortable, and that's what I'm excited about seeing, and we'll see if he's able to take that next step. This is a huge year. He's not talking a lot about it. He's just kind of going out there doing his thing. Ron Miles, you were in the same media session when he said, hey, we asked him to tone it back a little bit and just go out there and perform, let his play do the talking, and that's good. And I like the swagger that he has. A lot of people think that I'm like a Jonathan Abram, like I don't like him, and that's not the case. I like him a lot. I think he has the mindset and the makeup of a Raider. He's just got to go out there and perform, and he hasn't been able to do that the first 2 years in the league yet on a consistent basis. That's the thing you're looking for is consistency, and I think that with him in this scheme, doing what he actually does really well, and that's the one thing that I've said, you've said, Raider Nation has said for a long time, coach's main job is to put players in a position to succeed, whether it's in their scheme or not. You see a guy, you see what he does best, you put him in that position. I think now Jonathan Abram has an opportunity to be successful.
Yeah, I agree. I'm reading this tweet from Green Key Mortgage and Construction Services.
I saw it, but I haven't seen it, yeah.
Okay, yeah, and he said, man-to-man, is Derek really going to finally come out of the shell and become the leader we need in the huddle? Forget the pretty throws and just starting the dog that defines every great quarterback. You know, Green Key, I've seen some of your tweets. I'm not going to dog you out or anything like that. But I just don't get how people think that Derek Carr is in some sort of a shell. He's not in any kind of a shell. He doesn't act like he's in a shell. He's not afraid of being a leader. Is he the perfect quarterback? No. But, like, when I see something like this, Q, I'm like, what are you guys watching? What is it that you see that you think that Derek Carr is, like, protecting himself in some sort of a shell and isn't the leader of this team?
Right. You know, the thing about it is, and this is kind of, I've kind of washed this conversation to the side, because in my opinion, you're either a Derek Carr fan or you're not. You know, you either appreciate what he does or you don't. And that's it. You know what I mean? It's just, it is what it is. There's other teams in the league that would definitely want to have him if he was made available. He's in the fourth year with John Gruden. Does he have warts? Yes. Does he have room to improve? Yes. But is he a guy that can get it done and get you where you need to be? Absolutely. I mean, he gets it. And he is a leader. He does show that leadership. We're there in the media sessions with him. We hear him. We know what he's doing. We see him on the field. If you see him in training camp, and Vinny, you've been there much longer than I have. This is my first year being out there. But you've seen him. He's out there leading the charge, and he's showing what it takes to get these guys lined up correctly. He's doing what it takes. If they don't start off their session right, he's like, hey, let's start this over. He's in John Gruden's ear the whole time, in front of him all the time. Hey, Gru, what do you need? I mean, he's not, you know, he's not the guy that everyone thinks he is, where he's all of a sudden some problem, or he's like you said, a shell of himself, and he doesn't want to come out and be a leader. He just does it differently. He's not the same type of leader that I would be. I'm the kind of guy that I'm rah-rah. I'm in your face. I'm loud. I mean, that's just who I am. But everyone, if you're that guy and that's not who you are naturally, then it's like, oh, you're a fraud. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you're faking to be someone else that you're not. He can't be someone he's not. He's just got to go out there and be Derek Carr, be the best version of himself, and I think that you're going to continue to see him grow. His biggest thing is, hey, control the ball. Keep the ball in your hands when you're in the pocket and it starts getting a little hairy. Don't turn the ball over, and you'll be fine.
You know, I was driving around Los Angeles today, because that's what you do in L.A. you spend a lot of time on freeways, and it slapped me right back in the face when I came home, how much driving there really is here in this wonderful state and wonderful city. But I was listening to some really good friends here on LA radio and 710 AM ESPN station here in Los Angeles. And what they were talking about was, is Matthew Stafford really Derek Carr? And is Derek Carr really Matthew Stafford? Because they went through the stats. And even I was like, wow.
Don't get me started on this conversation, brother.
Well, you know what? Too late, Q. Too late. Because we're going to have that conversation right now.
Damon, tell him that I went down this rabbit hole already.
No, okay, he did. He did.
And that's awesome, because now, you know, we'll be able to trade some ideas.
Let's
here.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
All right. So this is Matthew Stafford's career line. Okay. And granted, he's played a whole bunch more games because he's been in the league a little bit longer. But completion percentage career, 62.6 completion percentage. Yards, 45,109. Touchdowns, 282. Interceptions, 144. Okay. Derek Carr, 110 games, so that's 55 less games, fewer games. 64.4%, you know, completion percentage, which is better. 26,896 yards. If you do the math with the games and everything like that, that kind of averages out fairly closely. It sounds like, I think, if my math is correct. Touchdowns, 170 to 71 interceptions. Q, you obviously have some thoughts about this.
Yeah.
Are they more similar than we're given credit to for?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I'm glad you brought this up, even though I said don't go there. I had this conversation the other day. I got on my soapbox, even though I didn't mean to, and a lot of people think I'm a Matt Stafford hater. I'm not. But I just think that every excuse that you can use for Matt Stafford not being as successful as everyone thinks he should be, you can use for Derek Carr. And they are very similar. Does Matt Stafford have probably more arm strength? Is he a little bit prettier as far as like the passes in the pocket and everything? Yeah, sure. But their numbers are very similar. He's 16 games under 500 for his win-loss record. Derek Carr is 16 games under 500 for their win-loss record. Yes, they're very similar. And I have people that tell me that Matt Stafford is elite and Derek Carr is garbage. And I'm not a Derek Carr apologist. There's guys like that are out there. I can name them, but I'm not going to give them that kind of shine. It blows my mind that these guys who have both been in bad situations, Detroit was a dumpster fire for a while. The Raiders, let's be honest, I'm a Raider fan. I'll tell you, it was a dumpster fire when Derek Carr was first drafted. They had no idea what was going on. Remember they had, Matt Schaub was supposed to be the guy? He was supposed to be the starting quarterback, and Derek Carr beat him out in training camp, and he started since day one. So they're very similar. They're very stinking similar. But Matt Stafford gets all the shine and gets all the he's elite, and Derek Carr's not. I don't think either one of them are elite. I think they're both good quarterbacks. And we'll see what Matt Stafford does this year in L.A. where the lights shine a little bit brighter. And he's expected to be that guy. Sean McVay's his head coach. The team is set up to win right now. But I don't think there's much difference between the two guys. And this is exactly what I was saying the other day.
And I don't think that that's a put down to Matthew Stafford or elevating Derek Carr to something that he's not.
Right.
I agree with you. I think that their stats are eerily similar, and their situations as well are eerily similar. Q, did I ever tell you the story about Lamar Odom and the light that he shed on Kevin Garnett when Kevin Garnett was in Minnesota? Did I ever tell you that story?
No, you didn't tell me that story.
Okay, so Lamar Odom was one of the – I used to love talking to Lamar and Ron Artest. Their lockers were right next to each other at Staples Center. So, and they would always be out there before games. You know, the media was able to go in for about 90 minutes or so before a game to talk. And a lot of times you're just shooting the you-know-what, right?
Right, right, right.
With the guys that are out there. So I got some funny stories from some of those days. But anyway, so – but this was actually out of practice, talking to Lamar Odom, and he's bringing up how so much of life, so much of professional sports is all about your circumstance, where you landed, where you are, what's around you, right? So his argument was this, and I'm going to throw it at you. This was when Kevin Garnett was in Minnesota, okay?
Right.
And Lamar Odom brought up to me, he's like, look, are you going to sit here and tell me that if you took Kevin Garnett and switched him out with Tim Duncan in San Antonio?
Yeah,
just a straight swap.
Right, right.
And
right.
you put KG in there with Popovich, Tony. You know, Ginobili. You know, he goes on and on and on with all that system, that culture. He goes, "Are you going to sit here and tell me that they're still not winning championships down there in San Antonio?" And I did not have a countering argument for him. Like I couldn't sit there and say, "No, not really." I think they would be winning championships still. You know, obviously. They would trade off a lot of times with the Lakers. And so he said to me, he goes, now look at how we talk about Tim Duncan and look at how we talk about, you know, Kevin Garnett in Minnesota because he's in Minnesota in a bad situation. So, you know, and how could you can't argue that.
It's
so much of it is about your circumstance.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No doubt. And ultimately, KG is a Hall of Famer. And ultimately, Tim Duncan, we all know, is a Hall of Famer. And San Antonio really lucked into that situation to end up having Tim Duncan
completely.
And David
Robinson.
Should
have been in Boston.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, there's a whole lot of things that we could talk about that. But, yeah, I mean, it is. It's about, it's not only about the talent of the player, but it's also about the talent of the organization as far as setting the player up for success. There's some guys in the league that I felt like never had an opportunity. I don't know if Josh Rosen could have ever been a good quarterback in the league, but he's never had an opportunity, ever.
Yes, and when we get back, we're going to extend this conversation because think of it this way now, Q. Who's going to have who's in the better situation of the four rookie quarterbacks? Trevor Lawrence, the BYU kid. Over in New York.
Right.
Or Justin Fields in Chicago, or the 49ers rookie quarterback.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, who forget whoever is the better quarterback or the better talent or whatever the case might be. Those situations that all four of those quarterbacks are in is probably going to determine at the end of the line who had the better career or not.
For sure.
So, you know, and it'll. I'm curious how it's going to play out in year one, because I'm not sold that Lawrence is in the best situation, and the Jets have been a dumpster fire for years. So, do we expect that to get better overnight? I'm not so sure. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Q Myers, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. You're listening to Raider Nation Radio 920 AM on a Friday.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignor. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignor on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
What's good, Raider Nation? Welcome back to Raider Nation Radio 920 AM on a Friday, the day before the Raiders take on the Los Angeles Rams out at SoFi Stadium, just a stone's throw away from where I am right at this second. We're going to go back out to the Raider Nation listener line because Raider Gong, it was so good. Raider Gong wanted a little more. So, what's up, Raider Gong?
Vinny, it's gone, bro. G-O-N-Z, my dude. Come on.
It's hard to hear. Yeah, it's okay. I keep hearing Raider Gong.
It's all good. It's all good. Anyways,
G-O-N-Z.
Z. Okay. Like Gonzalez.
All right.
Bro.
Yeah. Like the Black Zorro. Remember in the movie when he said, I'm like the Black Zorro. You got a Z in your throat.
I got you. Now I got you. Because when you said it still sounds like you said G-O-N-G, not Z. So my bad.
No, it's all good. Anyways, so again, out here from the 714, Orange County, Santa Ana. You know, living right now in the 310, which is L.A. For Vermont. So he remembers those area codes.
That's right.
But, are you guys going to be kicking it or hanging out after the game anywhere for, us listeners right here in L.A.? And second point I wanted to make, or just kind of piggyback, is if your significant other is buying the groceries and they always buy, Kirkland water, let's say, and you have the opportunity to go to the grocery store, do not buy anything else. Do not buy Arrowhead. Do not buy Fiji. That's all I got to say. All right, man. You guys have a good night.
You too. That was greatness. That was greatness. Raider Guns right there. And I'll tell you right now, in life, there's so many different flavors of water. You know what I mean? There's so many different flavors of water, and some is just pure.
Yeah.
So every once in a while, you've got to, kind of dibble and dabble and see what kind of water you prefer. And I'll just say there's got to be a pool around here somewhere. That's all I'm going to say. There's got to be a pool around here because there's a whole lot of water around here.
Well, I'm hoping a certain listener is not listening today because you're going to be in trouble. I'm just letting you know, man, right now, because they understand exactly what you're talking about. So, but hey, I'm not going to get in the middle of any of that. Q, you do your thing at the Treasure Island at the Golden Circle Sports Book, which is a really good spot, and
it's a great spot.
And it's a Friday night in Las Vegas, so you know how it rolls.
Water flows, brother.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. you just don't want to drown. That's the key.
Exactly. Good one.
It's because that can happen too.
Yeah, you ain't lying. You can drown or you can get drowned.
Right, exactly.
I may be drowning myself right now as I speak.
No doubt about it. All right, Q, I got a question for you. Tomorrow, the Raiders released their fourth quarterback on Monday.
Right.
So they're down to three quarterbacks. I would not hold my breath on Derek Carr playing at all tomorrow. So that leaves Marcus Mariota and Nathan Peterman. And to me, them not carrying that fourth quarterback is a pretty good indication that Marcus is good to go. I saw him in practice over the last couple of days. He definitely was not, there was no restrictions or anything like that coming off that leg tweak that he had the week before. So it looks like he's in line to play on Saturday and probably play some significant snaps. They'll probably half it up with he and Nathan Peterman. I'm looking forward to seeing Marcus Mariota out there play some significant time. I know it's going to be against backups. I completely get that. But I think it's important for Marcus Mariota to get on the field and get some reps. I think it's important for the Raiders to get Marcus Mariota some reps. And I'm excited to see that. That's like the thing that I'm wanting to see most, especially offensively, is what number 8 does tomorrow night.
Yeah, it should be interesting. You know, I think you're right. He'll get some burn. I'm not sure. I'm not sold that he's going to get actual half a game. I think he may just get a quarter, and Peterman goes the other three quarters. I wouldn't be surprised. I think that John Gruden's trying to get him some extra burn and get him up to speed on what they're trying to do. And I know Nate Peterman is already up to speed, but just kind of get him as many reps as possible, because we all know he's not going anywhere. He's going to be on the roster. He's not going to be the backup, but he's going to be on the roster, and he's not going to get a whole lot of game time action outside of what they're going to be doing right now, which is preseason. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Mariota for one quarter and then see Peterman go the rest of the way. But, you know, if they do give Mariota a half, great. I think, and this is just me thinking, this is my gut feeling, this is what I've always rolled with, regardless of location or what. I just kind of feel like Mariota has a package. He kind of knows what he's got to do, what his role is going to be outside of, you know, worst-case scenario, a car injury. But I think he knows who he's got to be and what he's got to do for this team moving forward. I really do.
And I don't think you're going to see any of the package whatsoever.
It's none. Zero. Zero. I can say it in 18 languages. It all means the same. Nothing.
Yeah. I don't know if you it was kind of a, you know, kind of a welcome to the NFL sort of moment yesterday. I don't know if you happen to catch when John Gruden was talking yesterday, and a good friend of ours, a reporter, asked a question to John Gruden about a specific play that he saw in yesterday's practice. Regarding a certain running back on the team.
Yeah, I heard that.
Okay, the look that John Gruden gave when that question was asked,
right.
And not trying to throw anybody under the bus or anything like that, but it was because John Gruden and all coaches, this is why these practices, joint practices, will never be live streamed.
Right.
They'll never be televised. Somebody, you know, there's been talk about, hey, these are so, you know, good and so effective. Why don't they put it on TV? And the point of why it's so effective is you're not getting the dummy down stuff in this practice
right.
setting right here.
Right.
The Rams
right.
aren't playing the Raiders this year unless they play each other in the Super Bowl. And by then, things will have changed over a million different times.
Yeah. Well, the Raiders thought that again 2003, brother.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. But – My point is you're seeing real stuff in these
yeah,
practices.
Exactly.
Like they're working on real stuff. You're not going to see the real stuff on Saturday. They're going to be very protective of that in a lot of ways. So, and John Gruden is very protective of his stuff. Like, he doesn't want any of this getting out there.
Right.
He even talked about it before heading to Los Angeles. Hopefully everybody will be understanding that, you know, no videos, no this, no that. I don't want to see all this stuff out on the internet or on television and everything like that. So when that question got asked to him about a specific play that worked, by the way, and the question was, are we going to see a little bit more of that this year? And John Gruden just had this look on his face like, you didn't just ask that question, man. And he's like, no, we're not going to be doing any of that this year. We're not going to talk about what we, you know. So
right.
he was upset. And it tells you, you know, it was a rookie mistake. It was you know, an innocent mistake. I wouldn't even call it a mistake. It was a valid question. John Gruden just didn't want to answer it. But it just shows you how secretive and protective these coaches are. And it kind of speaks also, Q, to how much pressure these guys are under. You know, like
right.
like when a question about a play is frowned upon because you're not trying to give away any secrets right now, that kind of tells you that guys take this really seriously, A, and there's a lot of pressure in this league to win and try to maintain the most competitive balance that you can maintain.
Right. I mean, guys are very, you know, controlling. You know, coaches are very controlling. They want everything out there at their time. They don't want it out there ahead of time. Now, I will say that play that we're talking about, it's out there. I mean, the video's out there. I've seen the video, and I'm not in L.A. I mean, I've seen the play. So, you know, when the question
was probably released by the Raiders media people.
Exactly.
Too.
It was. It absolutely was. So that's because it was during the session when it's not, you know, filmable, which, Vinny, we get that question all the time. How come you guys aren't filming stuff?
I know.
We can't. We can't. I mean, there's just you can't. Well, other teams do. Okay, well, we're not covering other teams. we're covering the Raiders and we're allowed to do what we do. But that's not even, you know, the point. The point is, yes, I mean, you know, there's the coaches keep things close to the vest for a reason. They want to feel like, you know, things about what they're trying to do is not out there already. That particular play isn't even something that's uncommon in the league. I mean, it's ran all the time. It's just the Raiders ran it really well. And it's probably something that you'll see at some point throughout the season multiple times with these players. And so, yeah, of course he didn't want to talk about it. And he did, like you said. He mentioned that before they left the L.A. He said, hey, hopefully, you know, it's not out on the internet. We don't want it on social media. This is not what the purpose is. The purpose is to get better and work on our craft. And that's all it is. So, again, obviously, you know, the person asked the question, they meant no harm by it. They just were based it off of, hey, is that your plan? Is that what you're thinking? And John Gruden wasn't having it, like you said.
Years ago, when I was working for the Los Angeles Daily News, we had a reporter who covered the Cal State Northridge football team. Right, that was when back in the day when newspapers were just printing money. Right,
yeah.
We like literally traveled with Cal State Northridge, which I think was not Division II, but that middle ground between Division II and Division I. Right, so or maybe right below Division II. Anyway,
okay, yeah.
So she goes on the radio to talk to, you know, the local radio station of the, like, it's Montana State or something like that, right? And unfortunately, talking about Cal State Northridge and mentions about how they were practicing a fake punt off of a, like,
oh,
and,
no.
And it got back to the head coach, the Cal State Northridge head coach, and he was just livid. I mean, he's right. A good dude. He actually, you know, totally respected the reporter in question. And it was just like, why did you talk? Like, you can't, like, stop that, you know, like, and that's, and so it's that fine line of, you know, there's an old saying, you know, it's too bad I wasn't here to see what I just saw, because I would have had to write about it, you know, or talk about it. But there's certain things that you almost have to innately know that what you see in a certain situation that you don't go blaring it all over the place. And that's kind of out of respect for, like, I got a job to do, you got a job to do, they've got a job to do too. Just as I wouldn't want them messing with my job, so, you know, I wouldn't do that to them, Q.
Right, exactly. That's exactly what it is. And so it's just, you know, it's kind of the nature of the beast. You know, you got to pick and choose. You want to ask all the questions. You want to get all the information because you know that there's people out there that are relying on you. I mean, Vinny, you've got a bazillion followers on Twitter. You got a bazillion, you know, readers of what you put out there that want to know every single detail. And I got people that ask me all the time, Q, well, ask John Gruden this. And I'm like, are you serious? You want me to ask Gruden that? Like, are you kidding me? He already puts a hole in my chest, even when I ask him a question that's very valid. You know what I mean? Sometimes he just has that demeanor where he doesn't mean anything by it. He just kind of, you know, looks at you like, all right, you know, but it's a very valid question. So I love it. I love every minute of it. But there's just certain things that you just realize, especially as you're around a guy a lot longer, you know that, hey, this is not probably the question that he wants me to ask. So.
The best was when we were, or worse, however you want to look at it, was when we were being asked, like, for the last 2 weeks when Darren Waller, what's the story on Darren Waller?
Yes.
You know, how come you don't ask about, you know, and, right. And I'm thinking to myself, do you really think that we don't ask every chance that we get?
Right.
What's, you know, there's only a certain amount of thing, you know, they're only going to go so far in explaining what's going on. Again, and we talked about this, Q, when there's no injury report, to base things on, like the official injury report before an official game, coaches are just going to keep playing everything as close to the vest as possible. So even something as, you know, I wouldn't say meaningless, but as small as some kind of a leg injury that Darren had, they weren't going to tell us no matter how many times we asked and we asked. And I just sometimes think to myself, Q, do you really think that we're not asking that question?
And on top of that, there was a time when, and we both saw him, and we were both talking about it. We were standing next to each other, but we saw Darren Waller on the third practice field kind of working on agility drills. I know you tweeted that out. I did as well. And people were like, well, give us video. And we're like, we can't.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't do it. You just can't.
My thing, my philosophy is if I see him out there running, I don't really need to know exactly what the injury is. At some point, if it ever, you know, bleeds over to the regular season, we'll find out. And I'm sure at some point, you know, he might still land on the injury report, and we'll kind of figure out what exactly it was. But as long as I'm seeing him out there running around, I don't need every little detail. And I don't think that fans do either. He's on target to come back. And that's that. And we quickly dispelled any. It wasn't anything about a contract dispute,
right,
or anything like that. Like, yeah, everyone was trying to run with that thing.
Right.
And I'm sure if they renegotiate the deal or if he signs an extension at some point, everyone, see, that's what it was.
Right.
No, it was totally separate from that. I'm not saying that he's on the verge of signing a new deal or anything, but I'm saying if he does,
right,
it will be. It would have been simultaneous to that, not the result of that. So,
right.
Anyway, it's just, please, when we have the information, we'll get you the information. But sometimes we're working within certain parameters. And there's other times, too, where you respect things that people say, hey, please don't, you know, like in our job, the access that we get is sometimes predicated on not, you know, like getting background, getting information that they don't want out there, but it's information that's given to you to make your job so that you're writing a more accurate story. So you're telling
a more accurate story.
And this job isn't to burn people, because if you burn people, you're not going to have a job very long, because you'll get shut off like that. You have to earn a level of respect, and trying to explain that, you know, I wish we could. I wish we could sit down, Q, sometimes. Maybe we will do this at some point. So bring some, you know, some listeners and readers, and we'll have like a little day or a party or whatever,
yeah,
just to kind of talk about, hey, this is how it sometimes has to work, right?
Well, yeah, and what I like to do, and we will do at some point when it's not a busy part of the season like football season, we will sit down and say, hey, you know what? All questions are on the table. Whatever you want to ask about what we do on the daily, why we do, how we do, is wide open. Ask us and we'll answer it. Straight up, you know, why do we talk like this? Why do we go to break here? When, I mean, we'll do that. We'll open it up wide open like some old school TV antennas to whatever you want to know, you can know, and we'll explain it to the very best of our ability. And that'll be, but that's for a time when it's not as super busy as football season.
Well, I'll put it this way: a couple of years ago, Sean McVay's first year, we had a completely off the record, total session with him where he went through plays and things like that, where he,
yeah,
was showing us, this is what we look for, this is what we want, you know, don't go writing about it, but
right,
so that you can watch the game a little bit easier and have a better understanding. And they also had a whole session with their capologist, and he completely broke it down to in every way fashionable of cash compared,
yeah,
to salary cap and all of that stuff,
right,
all of the ins and outs. The agreement was, we never talk about this. You can't go writing about this, but now you'll have a better idea of when a contract is announced or whatever. You can kind of cut through all the nonsense and nuance to get to the heart of it. And to me, that's so beneficial. And like you said, Q, maybe that's what we do. That would be a great, I think, learning tool.
Yeah.
Not only for our listeners and our readers. We're having a meeting on the air right now, Q. That's crazy that we're having
great.
This.
It's good. It's good stuff.
But also, it helps us, because now maybe we get a better idea of what do you want to hear? What do you want to know? And we'll,
right,
we'll be honest about, I can't go that far sometimes. Or
right,
or maybe we will. Hey, that's a great idea. We'll keep that in mind. So, you know, I've always said this, and I tell people that I cover, and I know you do the same thing. I'm here to tell the most accurate story that I possibly can. I'll win my battles. I'll get the news out first. Sometimes I'll break my share of stories, but that's not necessarily what drives me.
Right.
What ultimately drives me is telling the most accurate, honest story that I possibly can. Good, bad, indifferent. And when you present that to your subjects that you're writing about or covering, they generally respect that. And I've been, you know, completely forthcoming. Sometimes they're going to have to write something, you know, that's not so good. That's going to be critical. And their whole point, usually back to me, and I know that you get this too, is that's fine. It's the gratuitous stuff. It's going over the top. It's criticizing when you don't really have all the facts, you
right,
know, and just kind of assuming. And so, or taking what they said out of context. You know, you hear things that people say, and it's easy sometimes to misconstrue that in a way that makes that person look bad, malicious, whatever the case might be. Just be honest. And when everyone is honest, that's when respect gets developed, and that's when relationships get developed.
Absolutely. That's a lot of good stuff right there, and we're definitely going to get to that. And, Vinny, I got a good question from you. Our guy Aaron sent me a good question. I wanted to pass along to you. I know we got to take a quick break, so I'll ask that question when we get back.
Sounds good. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Q Myers, brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignore. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignore on Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM.
All right, what you got, Q?
I love that DJ Quick right there. That's awesome.
That was nice.
That's nice. And especially since you're in L.A. and I'm headed to L.A., I'll be there. Well, it's Friday night and I got to drive to L.A., so you can only imagine how much traffic I'm getting stuck in. But it's okay.
It's usually in the opposite direction, so you might be okay.
Look, I got the family in the car. I'll be fine. I'm good.
There you go.
You know.
You got, putting on some good music or listening to some, you know, good sports, something.
Right.
But be safe, my brother.
Oh, for sure. And then we'll hook up and we'll link up. Matter of fact, Raider Gons, he hit me up, and that's Gons with a Z. He hit me up and said, hey, Vinny, you never answered the question. Are you guys going to be hanging out after the game and somewhere where we can meet you? And I don't know the answer to that, but if you hit us up while we're in L.A., we can give you a better answer.
The one issue, that's a 7 o'clock game after writing and all that. That gets a little dicey, but it's on the radar without question.
Exactly. So, Raider Gons, hit us up and let us know, and we'll figure out exactly what we're going to do. Now, Vinny, the question I had from you from our guy Aaron was, he said, do you think Gruden asked McVay to pick on certain players during the game on Saturday because they are close and he wants to see what these different guys are going to do?
No, I don't think. Here's the thing. There's so much mutual respect amongst both of those coaches is that they're on their journey. The Raiders are on their journey. They're trying to do their thing. John Gruden's not going to say, hey, can you take away from what you want to try to do here tonight to kind of help me out a little bit? Now, there were situations during practice where, you know, there were a couple of times where I saw, like, you know, Sean McVay would hustle over to Gus Bradley during the offense defense and say, hey, this is what I'm going to be doing over these next three plays. It's the personnel grouping. Just wanted to give you a heads up if you need to set something up on your end to kind of deal with that. You know, okay, cool, thanks. So, you know, in a practice setting, there's leeway to do that, and you're setting up all these different scenarios and situations and saying, hey, this is kind of what I'm looking at to get out of this, and vice versa. But in a game, you don't go over to the other team's coach and say, hey, you mind, you know, throwing the ball over to number 21? I got to get a real good look at him. They'd look at you nuts.
Right. No, I got you on that, and that makes sense. I just think that because they are mutual friends, that they'll probably say, like, you know, like you said, when McVay went over and talked to Bradley and everything, they may work on some stuff just to get some work. You know, again, it's not really a pick on type situation, but, you know, neither one of these guys.
I hear, and I think that's what that practice was for.
That's good.
It's more, you know, that's the setting that you do that in, because I think in the game, like I said, the coaches respect each other so much that they're not going to, like, try to – they've got their own thing that they got to work on. So, you know, you hope that the game swings in that direction so that you get a good idea of what that player that you want to, you know, get a better evaluation of. But, again, that was what you could – if that was the case, you know, you're putting them into those situations on Wednesday and Thursday and trying to get the most out of it. You know, now maybe in the NBA, when you have some of those preseason games, you know, you might talk to the other coach about it. But again, you just respect their thing so much. Like, I got enough issues on my side. I know what, you know, I don't know if I'd be real cool with, you know, the other coach coming into my locker room or whatever, calling me up or texting me and say, do you mind, you know, running like three plays to the right? I just it's just probably not what you want to do. But that is where Q, those practices came so in handy, and I think you're going to see more of them in the future, as especially after we get through with COVID-19 and make traveling a little bit easier and all that. There's just so much, and hopefully next year, I'm sure the Raiders, depending on what their preseason schedule looks like, they're gonna work something out with whoever they play, at least one of those teams. And I'm hoping that you come out there, because man, it's a really good learning tool for everybody, the players, the coaches, and us too as the media, to see things and hear things. We were literally on the sidelines. I might as well have been in the meeting with Gus Bradley and his defensive backs. Like, I heard everything that they were saying and what they were looking for and all that. It was great. I just want to say thanks to all the callers. You brought the energy today. We always appreciate that. Thank you to all our listeners. You're why we do this. Thanks to Damon Cotton for being doing everything that he always does to make us sound great and be on time over at home base. Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the Beyond Nicotine experience with its Beyond Tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.